begun this one 3 years ago. I've recorded it in four places. I've recorded it in Gloucester, in Ashford, in London, and in Rotterdam. As I wanted something more European, because I felt that it's no good just being based in Britain. It's a global thing out there. So even though we've talked about getting lost on the internet, we still need to reach out to the world. So I found an amazing Dutch singer and called Landa, and she's from Rotterdam. And she came over to England, kind of exchange scheme, recorded a song. And then I went back over to Holland and recorded a song there. And the song I recorded in Holland on the album is called Halloween. And basically, they don't do Halloween in Holland, which I thought was, you know, a shame.
Hmm.
So I thought I'd export Halloween to Holland. So I went out there, I had all the girls in the horns and the tails and people dressed as witches and pumpkins. And we built fires and I told ghost stories and then frightened them all stupid. And whilst there, recorded this song Halloween in an afternoon, on Halloween. This thing that everyone's polishing everything within an inch of its life.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, I wanted a punk ethic. And by punk, I don't mean this idea of design a thing or spitting or even the Pistols or Green Day. I'm on about the ethic of when people say, keep it real, don't they? There's a saying, keep it real. Well, this is real because it's now. So you're capturing now like a photograph. By the time you get to second take, you've already lost something. By the time you've got to third take, it's getting boring. And by the time you've got to fourth take, you've polished it into the ground. Yet you hear someone's been in a multi-million pound studio recording a single and they've been there 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So you could do that in an hour, can't you? I mean, Johnny Cash did, the Beatles.
Yeah, damn right. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Come on. Yeah, it never did his career any harm, did it?
And they had, Elvis used to go to the Sun studio, there's the vinyl there, you know, it's, right, band play, and that's the single that comes out.
Yeah.
So I wanted to bring that back. So what you're hearing is, that's it.
Yeah.
And at 6 o'clock, all the girls and boys turned up with horns and tails and pumpkins, so the session had to stop. So wherever the song was at that point, it was finished.
We're constantly striving for a perfection that we'll never achieve.
Yeah.
So actually, the spontaneity is the closest thing to perfection that we could actually get
John,
to.
Yeah, a man after my own heart. The perfection is in the imperfection. It truly is. And you know, everything's just mixed in one go, really. You know, I spent a little more time on the mixing. I've got a very acute ear for that. But yeah, that is so true. You should be capturing the sound whilst you're capturing it. It's no good sticking all the stuff on afterwards to make it sound good if it wasn't good in the first place. But I wasn't even rehearsing this stuff. It's like, press the button, this is it. We're recording, and what you hear. For example, the last song on Delight, which is called Delighted, which is the single, for want of a, I know there's no such thing really, but it's the thing we've been putting out on a business card as a single. With Delighted, I got myself and my guitarist Andy Wood, who's a very famous local guy in many bands around here, and also backed by the Prince's Trust. We sat down and we said, right, okay, we were four takes about 10 years ago. Now we got it down to sort of two takes, and then we got it down to one take for this album. This time we decided on no takes. So it's right, okay, how do we do no takes? And it's, oh, right.
I'm sorry. You're pushing the boundaries of, like, you know, the semantics to its breaking point. Fantastic. God, what is no takes?
No
then?
Takes is, obviously, you've got to take it, but one take is, we've got the thing rehearsed.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know what we're playing. Take one.
Yeah.
And then we've recorded it. And we've done that throughout the album. This track, we hadn't written the song. So we've got the lyrics and a chord.
Yeah.
One chord. One and a beat, of course.
Yeah.
One, two, three. The beat goes. Bang. We're away. And he's anticipating what I'm doing. I'm anticipating what he's doing. What you're hearing on the finished track is us writing.
So come haunt me again, come anytime soon, in the dark of the day, or the light of the moon. And I won't mind at all if you come through the wall. In fact, I'll be delighted.
Is it a mixture of skill and the wonderful of Mexican word cojones?
There's skill in there. Cojones. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Right. I'm amazed you can walk, in fact, with the cojones.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I inferred earlier about, alas, I didn't have long with my mum. Mm. Well, I was then very fortunate to be put in an orphanage. And I say I was fortunate because then I met kids from real hard backgrounds, from real the street, and who'd had really terrible things happen to them. And there I developed cojones. later I developed the skill. There weren't much skill then, you know? It was survival, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah,
and then it became so. When I left school, I was fortunate. I went to a good school, got a half decent education. But when we left the orphanage, it was a case of what does a poor boy do but to sing for a rock and roll band, the street fighting man thing. And so we joined punk groups, and my inspiration was The Clash. Mm. To the point where on this album, I've done a track called "The Ghosts of the Underground," which is very multi-layered, but essentially it's a tribute to Joe Strummer. In the 90s, we were struggling. I couldn't turn professional. I was semi-professional, earning semi-living at it. Was going to banks and they were going, "Go away, scum," you know, because I was a musician and stuff. And I walked in the Prince's Trust door and they said, come in. Show us what you do. So I played them some tunes. They went, "Hang on, you're good. We'll give you a load of money." So it's like, well, what, you mean I could turn professional? Yeah, you can turn professional. They gave us business mentor and, helped us out. And then we played at Covent Garden for myself, Andy Wood. We played at Covent Garden for the Prince's Trust. And then I was invited to Highgrove, selected out of all the musicians that they'd backed to go and meet the Prince of Wales at his home in Highgrove. So they selected a clown. There was a clown. They selected a musician, which was me. They selected, you know, various people from different businesses they'd backed. From that, I gave the Prince of Wales a CD. I had a letter back saying how much he'd loved it and encouraging me to carry on with what he called my beautiful music. Obviously, I gave him some of my slightly... Yeah, I didn't bash him up with some of my heavier tracks. And so, you know, he was obviously a fan of the work. And through that opened a lot of doors. And now I'm a little bit older and I'm more experienced. I'm bringing through and helping new talent to come through. And the Prince's Trust send me people. Through my school, the Harmony School, I teach and guide and help people to develop self-confidence and the skills necessary to get out there in this tough world. So now they've helped me, I'm helping them. And so the more young people I can help through, you know, and they get involved in my works as I'm involving my students from the Harmony School in the dance of life. So I'm tying it all in, you know. I'm not just making music to feed my ego. I'm going out and play concerts to feed my ego. My ego is irrelevant. What matters is actually not even everybody I'm helping now. It's the people who aren't born yet. Mm. That's what we're doing. We're not. What's not with-